Okay, Sherry Miller, and the question is, what did we do to prioritize our marriage when the kids were little? And I have to tell you that I told the mentors I needed to ask my husband this question, and I was dreading it. So he and I went on a two-day date to Kansas City during spring break, and I just kept putting it off. Finally, at the restaurant on the way home, I asked him, and he responded exactly like I thought he would. He just started laughing and said, "We did it." So you have to understand that when I hear that question, I think dates. And when he hears that question, he thinks dates. He said, "Sherry, you really need to explain to them we had six kids and we were poor." So I need to give you just a little bit of background. And what I'm going to share all came out of, we continued to have a really fantastic conversation. So what I'm sharing came from that conversation. When I first got married, Phil knew I wanted a big family, and he was fine with that. He told me two things I had to agree to. One, no TV, and I had to stay home when the kids were little. So we did not have a TV until they were pretty big. It was 9/11 when we first started using a TV as a TV, and I stayed home for 28 years. Well, the first 3 years of our marriage, he made me wait 3 years so that we could have that time, just the two of us. And we did everything together. We taught at a school in Phoenix together. We got groceries together. We went for walks. We worked in the yard. I mean, we literally did everything together. Then we moved to Arkansas and bought a farm. And we bought a dairy. And a dairy, for those of you who are city girls like me, those cows have to be milked twice a day at the same time every day. You can't skip. So we didn't have the money to hire anyone to milk the cows so that we could go anywhere. And we didn't have the money to hire a babysitter. And we didn't have the money to go anywhere, do anything. And I think I've shared before in this group, and I have to be really careful here, because when you use the word poor, I think that's an emotionally charged word. And there are some people who understand it better than I do. I have never experienced true poverty. I have never been homeless. But we were land poor or farm poor. We had a big farmhouse, but it didn't have central heat and air, no insulation, and it was falling down. But it was a big house. And we had almost 75 acres and a creek, but no money. And I can remember we got two checks a month. And I can remember opening a check that they had taken the trouble to print that said $0.00. And that was my grocery week. So my definition back then was, if you don't have enough money to buy toilet paper when you need toilet paper, you're poor. And I have been poor. By that standard, I'm extremely rich. I can buy all the paper I want, all the toilet paper I want. I can remember that some of the kids remember taking baths in the creek because the well was dry. I would get groceries once a month, and when the kids got a little bit big enough, I would take one kid with me. We would fill two carts. And if a birthday was coming up, they were allowed to choose one box of cereal. If there was no birthdays, no cereal. And we shopped smart. We had milk from the dairy. We took the cream, made the butter. We usually had chicken, so we had eggs. But there were a lot of really good memories during that time, but not dates. We drove a Volkswagen Beetle until I was pregnant with my fourth. And then we could not. Phil said to tell you that one of the things that we did everything together. We did everything as a family. We had a big breakfast together after he milked the cows in the morning. We had a big lunch together, and then we would have like a snack before he went out to milk in the evening. It was just, we would chop wood together for the fireplace. I mean, the whole family. And he said, when you're doing things together like that, you're going to make sure that you're supporting one another, building each other up, and you're on the same page. I remember that one time, one of my jobs was helping him when the kids were too little. I would have to help him with the farm chores. Well, you have to understand, I'm a city girl raised in Phoenix with a country heart. But I would have to help him pull calves out if they were having trouble, or give IVs to the moms who couldn't get up. And I was so thankful when my kids got big enough that they could be the helpers, because they are true country kids, not me. When we finally sold the milk cows and bought beef cows, that was the first, and Phil started working at McKee, that was the first time we could take a vacation. And we probably broke laws, I'm honestly not sure about this, but the only car we had was a farm truck. So we put the kids in the back and drove to Lake Tenkiller and camped, because camping is cheap. And we did that for several days, and it was great memory. And I remember another time we went to Mackinac Island, and we camped all the way at every national park, because you can camp at national parks like $10 a night. That's way cheaper than hotel rooms. Anyway, the biggest thing that I took away from that whole conversation is, if your marriage is a priority, you will find ways to make that obvious to your partner and to your kids. And making it obvious to your kids, I think, is really important. And I think if you ask the kids, they will tell you, they know that I am committed to my relationship with my husband and that he's committed to me. No dates. We have dates now, though.
Thank you for sharing, Sherry.
Our speaker this morning is Marilyn Jackson. She was the youngest of nine children, born into a Christian farm family in western Oklahoma. She moved as a teenager to Siloam Springs, where she met Dwight Jackson, who is her husband of 40 years. They have three adult married children and eight wonderful grandchildren. She was born into a singing family and had the opportunity to participate in instrumental music in school, and enjoys getting to play her, I do not know how to say this,
euphonium.
What is that?
It's a brass instrument, like a baby tuba.
Okay. As opportunities arrive. One of her love languages is cooking for others, so you may get to be on the receiving end of that sometime. Join me in welcoming Marilyn Jackson.
Joy to be here. I got to participate in Not Mothering Matters many years ago. It was MOPS. Is that right, Sherry, when it began? And Sherry, I do identify with farm thing, because I was in a dairy farm family as well. So, yeah, those cows don't take vacations for some reason or another.
Rachel, can we drop this down just a little bit?
It's a bit hot. It seems there's some reverb or something. Not physically, but just whatever. Okay, you guys have your book, right? You don't need it right now, but today's chapter was the attitude or the prayer. And the first point that was made is that we should have an attitude of prayer. We should be aware of God's presence every day. And maybe your schedule is... You're good. Thank you, Rachel. Maybe your schedule is kind of wild and crazy. I remember those days when there were little ones around the house, or maybe when we were on the farm, because even as a married couple, we were on the dairy farm again later on for a short while. But you find the time that will work for you. It is a relationship with God, and there's no right or wrong way for you to pray. Each one of you is going to have a different style, a different fashion, a different schedule, and those sorts of things. Sometimes it'll be a real short conversation, but other times it might be a long discussion. And then the question is asked, where is the best place to pray? Maybe you have a prayer closet. I spoke with someone recently who actually took a closet, emptied it out, and that became her prayer closet. That was where she had conversations with God. Have any of you done that? She said it really focused her attention. I can imagine that it would. It is intriguing to me. So that is something that I'm interested in. I maybe would like to do that sometime. Jesus often went away. He went to a garden. You remember that story? He went to the garden, a solitary place, and a mountainside for the night. Are there any of you that have prayed the entire night through? Sometimes difficulties arise, and for the night, Jesus prayed, we are told in the scriptures. Talking and listening, it's two ways. Sometimes I tend to get a little bit busy on the talking side and not good on the listening side. So it is a two-way conversation. Have you heard of the term popcorn prayers? What does that mean in your opinion?
Everyone, I just heard it in a group setting where everyone like can just come in and right. Pray whenever it's really
do you think that we could do that on an individual basis? Just as something comes to mind, just shoot that up, a little popcorn prayer? Maybe it's when you're in a dangerous situation. Maybe it's just when you're in everyday life and, okay, I've got a few seconds right here. Just shoot up a little popcorn prayer. What about the prayer basket that was referenced in your book? Does that sound interesting? You have everything right there at hand. You have your Bible, your journal, your devotional book, and note cards. And those note cards have various purposes. Those note cards can be to jot down that thing that needs to be done tomorrow, but if you don't write it down now, it will continue to nag you. Does anyone remember that? I've gotten up out of bed before to make notes. But those note cards could be valuable. Or what about writing a note to someone that comes to your mind while you pray? That would be another thing, another good reason, another value for sitting and being quiet and listening to God. Another thing that I like to do, does anybody in the room besides me iron clothes anymore? Oh, thank you. Thank you. There are a few hands. I'm not the only one. And if you don't, no worries whatsoever. So maybe just a few things, whatever works. But the ironing time, I think I pinched off right there. The ironing time, and also another activity that I absolutely love, is push mowing. And thank you, Christy. You identified. Okay. I like that for two different reasons. I like it because it's mindless, and then afterwards you can see the good results that you just created. But another reason I like it is that's when people come to mind. And I feel like, okay, if God is bringing them to mind, I need to be taking them to God. There might be something going on that I'm not aware of. In Luke 22, verses 39 and 40, the two words that stuck out to me in my mind were, as usual, Jesus prayed. As usual. That doesn't mean that it's an occasional thing, that maybe once a year, but as usual, Jesus prayed. I would like to have that said about me. How about you? Is that something that you would aspire to? We need to remember that it's Jesus asking God for his will when it was time for Jesus to go to the cross. And he said, not my will, but yours, God. Because we each one like what we like, right? We have those plans that we think are going to come to pass. And it doesn't always work that way. So what does that look like for you if you're saying, God, not my will, but yours? That means that we don't necessarily get to dictate what's being done that day. If God is saying, you need to go see this friend that's having a difficult week right now. Maybe you need to take a plate of cookies to someone who just had a challenge. I don't know what that looks like for you. But maybe we need to be aware that those things that come into our paths as thoughts might be coming from God. He might be directing you what to do. All right, next question is, when is the best time? In your schedule, what time of day is the best time for prayer time with God? Morning, noon, night? Anybody?
Night.
Morning? Early morning. Okay. Is there anyone that gets up before anyone else in the household is up? Yes? Are there little feet that follow you before you're finished?
No, they stay in bed.
They stay in bed.
They hear me.
So that's a lesson. That's a way that you have trained them. It wouldn't be all bad if they saw us with our prayer time with God. because then they can say, oh, I want to copy mom. I'm going to emulate that. And so there is no set time that we will say is best. It's just whatever God puts into your schedule and your wherewithal to do. That's all that we ask. Spend that time with him. And here's going to be a little bit of a small plug for Moms in Prayer. If some of you have school-age children, please check it out. And I understand Elizabeth Granderson Gale says is the contact in the area. It's a wonderful ministry, and we're going to mention that again in a little bit. Why do we want to spend time in prayer with God? Does anybody remember what was suggested in our book that you read? To deepen the intimacy with God. When you have a friend, possibly your husband is someone that you speak with very intimately, in great confidence. Maybe you have another friend that you can do that you know that anything is safe. You want to spend time with that person. Same with God. He wants a relationship with us. So we want to do that. We need to find the time somehow. Now, does that mean it will be every day? Maybe not. Maybe there is something that prevents that day. So that's when you just grab those little bits that you can grab when you have that opportunity. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, I picked out part of the verse. It says to encourage and build each other up. That is another thing to do in our prayer time for that person who's going through a challenging time, maybe lost a job, medical, who knows what. You know, we do have an arsenal to fight the enemy who seeks to cause difficulty, shooting darts at us, and we have an arsenal, and that will be grown and be developed by prayer time. How are we to pray? On page 176 in your book, or on the table, you will find the little half sheets of the Lord's Prayer. Would you ladies please stand? I'd like to recite this together, if we may. I believe this version came out of the Message, and I really do like the words. The Lord's Prayer is there. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Thank you. You may be seated. Spend time when you can't reading back through that. I really like the passage and some of the words. One of the things that really jumped out to me is, thank you for this food. And you know what? Some of us tend to worry about what we're going to eat tomorrow and maybe next week. But I think it said for the food for today. So we need to not sweat the little things and just worry about today, and God will provide that. We can bless both God and others. We can ask for wisdom and direction. Does everybody in this room need that? And have a visit with God. So now is my time. I want to camp on Moms in Prayer a little bit more. There are several ladies in the room that I have spent hours with in Moms in Prayer through the years. I've had, our oldest is 36, and when he went to school, I was meeting at John Brown University in a back office with Wanda West, for some of you who know her, and Jeanette Hansen. They've gone years ago. And then later on, it changed different places. Different ones were in leadership. There even became a college group. Does anyone know if there's still a praying for college students group? There may not be anymore. And it could even continue because moms, mentor moms, don't do your prayers for your children. Stop. They never do, Sherry says. Because we continue to know that there are needs there, and we want that evil one to be kept at bay. So we will continue to pray for those. What about saying thank you? Are you good at saying thank you? In the Moms in Touch format, it begins with a time of praise. And any of you that are, excuse me, it's not Moms in Touch, it's Moms in Prayer now. If any of you care to, go to the Moms in Prayer website, and you can download and print off any of the forms that you like. Some that are filled out and some that are not. And it gives a recommendation on the exact amount of time to use on each of these areas. But the first one is praise. Secondly, confession. Third, to give thanks. We could certainly do lots of things there. Next, we would pray for our children. And it's generally recommended that you pray for one child each week. You don't pray for all of them. For teachers, for the schools, and then for the International Organization of Moms in Prayer. So I would like to encourage you to do that because, you know what? These are the moms that are in the room that I have prayed with in the past years. We have a real understanding. We know the struggles.
Okay, girls, I thought I could do this.
We know the struggles and challenges that some of our kids have been through. And yet we know that they each one continue to hold our children up. So that's valuable. I really encourage you, if it's possible, to look into that organization. You know what? Maybe it's one of them all. Let your kids play in the back room or something if you're homeschooling your children or preschool age children. I understand, though, that in the past there has been babysitting available. So please do reach out to Elizabeth Granderson if that is a possibility for you. Bill Hybels wrote a book, Too Busy Not to Pray. Interesting, huh? Too busy not to pray. What does that mean to you? To me, it means that on those days that my schedule is quite full, I especially need God's direction for that day, to order my steps, to dictate what is to be done that day. We are also pretty self-sufficient, independent creatures. Do you agree? I can do it myself, thank you. Not so. We need God's help. So let's just keep trying to work on that. When Rachel asked me about, a month or two ago, would I come and speak to you ladies, I was like, I don't know. I don't feel real comfortable getting up in front of people and talking to them. And my husband said, you need to. And I'm thinking, well, so where are you? Why aren't you right here? But he reminded me, he brought to mind some times of real intense prayer that we've been through. And I mentioned that I was raised on a farm family, and so my dad was a farmer. We had a crop farm out in western Oklahoma and then bought the dairy farm here and did both of those in conjunction together. Well, when I was 15 years old, he had a tractor accident that severed his leg right below the knee. And after 40 days in ICU in Oklahoma City, he walked out with, well, he didn't walk out that day, but he left with an intact leg that had been highly expected to have to be amputated because there was just a little bit of flesh hanging on and only one bone in that leg. And 2.5 years later, he walked me down the aisle. So my husband reminded me, that's a miracle that I needed to tell you about. We've had the new babies. You ladies all know about the exhaustion that goes with that, right? When they need to feed in the night or when they get a fever. I know Rachel knows about it. She had sick kids last week. There are those times when you wonder, can I really go on? And I remember using those times at feeding or rocking the feverish baby or whatever to pray over that child and asking God just to order their steps, to protect them and preserve them for the next thing. Okay, and then my most difficult struggle was our youngest daughter. She's 28, and she was now. So she survived. You can know that now. She was just determined not to follow her older brother and sister's path and to go the way of the world. And it got to the point, now ladies, tell me what you think about this. It got to the point where we said, whatever it takes. Those are hard words. It's hard to pray those words. But we didn't know what to do. We couldn't do anything. There was nothing in our minds that could be a solution. And so we prayed God whatever it takes. And he worked a miracle. So we had multiple miracles in our family. We probably could list them on all hands. But now she, well, I'll just say, she even dabbled in alcohol. And who knows what else. We had to fight against the comments of people saying, your daughter did that. Do you know how hard that is? I said, yes, she did. But we're trusting God for a miracle. Another thing that we were counseled to do was gather many prayer warriors around us. And we did that. And there were two men in particular that come to mind. One of them said, God is building her testimony. And the other one said, she is going to be used for great things. She is now in college to get her counseling degree. She'll be an MPC next December and wants to work with addicts. It's full circle. She has a heart for people. She can relate to people in a way that someone else, that I never would. And so because of her experiences, she will reach out to other people.
prayers change over the years. Grandma's in the room, you understand this. We don't quit praying for our children, but as soon as we get them, or maybe even before they're born, we are praying for the spouses of those children. And then here come the job changes that need to be made, so we pray for those. Well, hopefully along the way come grandchildren. I just happen to have 8 of them. And I thought that was old people stuff, girls, and I don't feel like old people. They range in age from 1.5, 18 months, to 9 years of age. They don't live here, but we've got 4 of them in town this week, and we're thoroughly enjoying them. So we are now praying for those grandchildren and their salvation. That's our first priority, as well as the mates that God will bring along for them at the next time. What else comes after that? Schooling, spouses of those grandchildren is really important. Does anybody know about the Stormy Omardia? Am I saying that right? There's a whole series of books that she writes. The Power of a Praying Mom, a Praying Wife, a Praying Parent, and a Praying Woman. If you have opportunity, you can actually go online and read these. You don't have to purchase the book or even download it on your Kindle unless you want to. So prayer is powerful. Have you had times of praying and answers to prayer that you could look back to and see that God does hear you? God does answer prayer? Are there things that you can think of? I hope so. Because each one of us will have those challenges along the way that we will pray for. A couple of other things come to mind as significant, intense times of prayer. We attended a church that was a new start for 27 years. And then it got to the point that there weren't enough members to continue. Do you know how hard that would be? After 27 years in one body with just a small nucleus of people, about 30, when you're that few, you get real close. You get quite intimate together, and that dissolved. Can you imagine? Pretty painful. So that was another one. Okay, I covered your prayers on this one. Are you game? Our son, who's a missionary in Africa, has been since 2010 with his 4 littles from 4 to 9, is coming stateside next spring. And we would love it if they'd be here. They have options. They've looked at various options, some being away and some in the States. You know what, we can drive anywhere. But we would really love it if they would be here. So I would covet your prayer in that, and that would be neat. I have one other lady who is no longer living. Some of you may know June Willits. Sherry, did you know June and Nathan? June Willits, oh yeah, Leslie knows her. June Willits was a dear saint, a dear lady, and she would join some of us other girls for Bible study. And one day she told us this funny story. Her husband had retired, and he frequently went and did work projects elsewhere. And she said, Nathan, now she didn't tell him, but she told us, I just wish Nathan would leave. She goes, yeah, he just gets in the way of my prayer time with God. She said her prayer time was just walking through the house, doing her regular chores, just in complete conversation. She's my role model. She's an example to me. It's something that I want to do. I am afraid that I get too busy doing my things through the day and don't always think about just that praying continually. A verse that really means a lot to me is 2 Chronicles 7:14. Do you know where I'm going with this? Do you know this verse? I won't sing it. But there is a song that goes along this line. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We need that. And we ladies can make a difference in the direction of this country if we continue to hold the country up and those leaders who are responsible for making decisions. So I encourage you to do that. As I was getting my things in my binder, I actually came across an old card, because this happens to be my mom's in prayer binder. And on this card, we were to write 3 good things in our life. This was actually from 2004, and I wrote those. But then beneath that, I have a question written down. How can the good things pull us away from God? It's pretty poignant, God. Good things can be our children. Good things could be our job. It could be your church position, if you have a position in the church. But they can pull us away from God. So that stuck in my mind. I want to be ongoing and growing. It's a goal. I don't have all the answers. Neither do any of these other grandmas that are in the room, I'm pretty sure. But as long as we continue to work that relationship with God, it will continue to grow. I feel confident. Thank you. That's all I have.